ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम नेम नंबर 662 अनिर्देश वपु। This name was also given as name 179. I'll first of all give the meaning given by Baladev Vidyabhushan. Up to this point, Baladev Vidyabhushan, the last few names he's given in relationship to Krishna's killing of the Teshi demon. Now he's giving... starting from this name, he's giving general meanings, and the meaning he gives is very similar to that given by most other commentators, especially Parashara Bhatta has given quite an extensive commentary, or at least it's been explained in some detail by the other commentators. That's what I've got. So Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning. It is impossible to describe his ultimate personal feature simply by dry philosophical speculation devoid of bhakti. And again, when we say Baladev Vidyabhushan, that is the translator's rendition of what Baladev Vidyabhushan said. So these words we can easily understand. Vapu, anirdesha vapu. Vapu means form. His body, nirdesh. Indian people all understand that word. Is there not nirdesh? Is that a word? Comes in Hindi, it means order. Do this, do that. Nirdesh, adesh. There are many, many similar words. Upadesh. It's a little different. It's not so much an instruction, it's more like advice or spiritual instruction. But they're all similar words. So, nirdesh, anirdesha. It means that it's without, no one can tell him, you should have a form like this. Or it's not, his form is not given by the modes of material nature. The Parashara Bhatta gives the idea that it's not under our jurisdiction. We who are tiny living beings, is not under our jurisdiction to try to measure him, understand him, or his, particularly here is mentioned his form, everything about him, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastime, everything about him is beyond avang manasa gochara, beyond the understanding of words, avang with the mind, particularly mentioned here is the form. Now this is it's indefinable by words and inconceivable by the mind, which is a big problem or a major point of departure in understanding between the Advaitavadis and the Vaishnavas. They see Krishna's form to be a product of Maya, just like our forms are products of Maya. They see that ultimately everything is one. Actually, not even ultimately, they say everything is one. And everything we see in this world is an illusion. So Krishna's within this world, he comes to this world, but they think he's part of that illusion. This is directly answered by Krishna himself. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhaya. Those who think that my form manifests from the non-manifest, they are foolish, they're mistaken, because rather the unmanifest manifests from him. The Mayavadis take this avyaktim vyaktim apanam verse to mean that people who think that I am something separate from that impersonal. In other words, they say that, well, actually the impersonal is everything and the form is illusory. That's how they interpret it, which is not exactly what Krishna says. But their whole philosophy is based on not exactly proper understanding of anything, and a massive misunderstanding of everything. So Krishna's form is a mystery to mundane people, because they think there's nothing beyond the mundane. They show me God, as if God is some quantifiable object who can be put under a microscope and analyzed or seen through a telescope. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in this regard, there are many, many statements about this. Etadishan, here's one of them. Etadishanam ishasya prakriti sto pitad gunai na yujyate sadatmasta yatabuddhistadashraya. That this is the divinity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that even though he appears within material nature, he remains as he is. He's not a product of material nature, nor is he affected by material nature. And those who take shelter in him, they attain to that same nature of divinity, of being beyond all material nature. So it's indefinable, very difficult to understand, maybe seen differently by others also. Well, that's there even among mundane people. When the prime ministers, everyone sees the prime minister. The prime minister, very important person. His mother, when she sees him, she sees my son. She knows he's the prime minister, but her relationship with him is that his prime ministership is not a major factor in it. So similarly, different people see Krishna in different ways. When Krishna entered the wrestling arena, everyone saw the same body in the same way. The impression that they saw was the same, but some saw him as the supremely beautiful. The young lady saw him as the wrestlers saw him like a thunderbolt. The Kamsa saw him as death personified. The Vrishnis saw him as the best of the Vrishni dynasty. So they saw him in different ways. At the same time, Krishna, what does he look like? Well, some people say, the description is there, Shyamasundaram, Achintamani Swarupa. Shyamasundaram, blackish, very beautiful. Bahavatang Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam, decorated with a peacock feather, and form is like that of a blackish rain cloud, very beautiful. And others will say, he's holding a flute. Vainung Vanantam, Aravinda Dalayatam. Holds a flute, and his eyes are like a lotus petal. And I would say, no, he's not holding a flute, he's holding a bow, and he's in Ayodhya, he's Ram. Others will say, no, he's a bow. Same person, but different forms. How can you describe that? We've all had so many forms. I was also a bowman in a forest, some tribal shooting pigs. I was also a pig getting shot. I've had so many forms, but they're not. In so many births, but they're not transcendental forms, they're all forms under Maya. Whereas Krishna, he has those forms are eternally he. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as the supreme lover, he is Krishna, come as Radha, but sometimes by the power of his devotee's devotion, he manifests forms. Varaha, four-handed Vishnu, universal form. So those, they're all simultaneously existing with him, non-different from him. It's impossible to understand by tiny, limited intelligence. We can begin to understand when we understand that we can't understand. That Jiva Goswami says that one cannot begin to understand the nature of the Supreme unless we accept that he's inconceivable, achintya. When we understand that he's achintya, achintya is of course one of the names in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. When we understand that he is inconceivable, then we can begin to understand him. And that's why atheists, they'll never understand him, because they think they can fit everything within the parameters, paradigms of their tiny, limited intelligence. It's actually quite fantastic. It's almost inconceivable how they can be so foolish as to think that if they can't understand it, it cannot exist. God, we can't accept there's any. I can't accept there's anything. Here's some little person who's controlled at every moment by the laws of nature. Here we have some person, John Smith, age 42, resident of some small town in New York State. I don't believe in God. Who the hell is it? Even Stephen Hawking. There is no God. There is no God. Why should we take him seriously? Because he has some fame or notoriety as being some scientist. They accept that their own brain is the measure of it. Man is the measure of everything. That is their foolishness. Napiyate anaya iti maya. That is maya. To think that we can measure everything, understand everything. So the beginning of understanding God is to understand everything. Not understandable. So, all right then, what is his form all about? It's not material. Our bodies are composed of what? Bhumirapanalo vayo kangmano buddhirevata hankara itiyangme bhina pratite ashtata. Our body, the gross body is composed of earth, water, fire, air, ether. The subtle body is composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. But Krishna's body isn't like that. Achintya guna swarupa. Sachidananda vigraha. What does that mean? Krishna's form is composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Does that mean you can dissect his body, do some biological analysis, and find some eternity, bliss, and knowledge? No, it's a way of saying that it's not exactly that Satchidananda, the ingredients in the that correspond to earth, water, fire, air, and ether. It's not like that. Just to say that his whole form is chinmay, spiritual. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of this name. We can try to describe in words, but there aren't really words which fit to describe, and there aren't really thoughts that we can think to understand. His form is composed of knowledge, bliss, eternity. Okay, yeah, but don't try to make too much of a biological analysis, because it doesn't fit. His form is eternally, irrevocably permeated. We can't say exactly permeated. We can say composed. There's no real word which fits, but it's definitely blissful, knowledgeable, and eternal. His body, what can we say about his form? It's his form. He is his form. He is. And then again we have Gani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti Pashanti Panti Kalayanti Chirandavati Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigrahasya Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Another description of Govinda, the original person who we worship. Brahma says, I worship. We worship. What do we say? Well, he has ears for hearing. Yeah, but he can hear with his feet also. or he has a mouth for eating, but he eats by his eyes also. All of his limbs can perform the function of all of them, because he's eating and seeing. It's not biologically understandable. He is. That much we can say. I am. In the Hebrew Bible, that's a name given for God. When God is asked, who is he? He says, I am. I just like that, that's all. I exist. Innumerable words to describe him, and none can properly describe him. That's all. Indescribable. No words can reach up to his. We have words like beauty, but there are no words that can reach up to how beautiful he is. We have words like power, but we can't understand how powerful he is. Okay, let's have a little thought experiment here now. $1 trillion. How much is $1 trillion? Okay, we know what a million is, right? What's a million? 10 lakhs. That's a, yeah, okay, 1 million. And then a billion. Billion is 1,000 million. Is it? It's different in America and in Britain. Okay. Can you imagine? Maybe you can imagine having you can't imagine having any dollars, because you never had any dollars. You have rupees. Okay. Anyway, let's say $1 million. $1 million. How much is that? That's no one. Five crores, something like that. 8 crores. Value of the rupees going down. Well, you could imagine it somewhat. I mean, even a little rinky-dink house like this, the guy wants 75 lakh for it, so that's three quarters of a crore. Okay, so you could imagine what it's like to have $1 million. What about having $1,000 million? And then how much is a trillion? Something like 1,000 billion. You can't even imagine having that much money. Or what does it mean, that much money? We hear that the American national debt is so many trillions of dollars. What does it mean? You can't imagine it. And then there are numbers further and further, more and more, and we just can't imagine. How many atoms are there between here and the sun? If you go in a straight line, how many atoms? It's just, we can say the number, but we can't imagine. We can imagine 2 apples in our mind's eye, 10 apples, 100 apples, maybe 1,000 apples. It's difficult to imagine 1,000,000 apples. You can't imagine 1 billion, what to speak of 1 trillion. So, but the universe is composed of things in vast numbers, and it's all within the belly of Krishna. And what's Krishna doing? He's playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And he cries when he wants to be fed by his mother. So inconceivable. For the impersonalists, they say, they're like atheists. They just say, isn't, just deny. Can't be the absolute, deny. So, what he is, what is he like? What does he look like? He looks like that, yeah, but someone may see him differently. He's Krishna, and then, yeah, someone sees him as Ram, someone sees him as Varaha, someone doesn't see him at all, someone sees him as their enemy. Who can understand Krishna? So that's one of his glories, is that we can't understand him. His form is there, and people, when they saw him, people like Duryodhana, Shishupal, they saw him, they thought, yeah, another guy, we'll kill him. We kill so many other people. they're fighters. Duryodhana, Shishupal, they're fighters. They killed so many people. So we'll kill Krishna also. But it's beyond their understanding that he doesn't die. Even he doesn't grow old. He doesn't have gray hair. He doesn't have wrinkles. What's the secret? What's the secret of not growing old and not dying and not having wrinkles? What is it? Do you have to do yoga? Take some vitamin pills? What do you do? Become Krishna. You can't become Krishna. You can become Krishna's servant. Then we attain the same status. No death, no old age, no disease. What do you say? The Vishnu Purana, there's a state, Parashara Bhatta gives a statement from the Vishnu Purana. Who can describe him who is not apprehended by the senses, who is the best of all things, the Supreme Soul, self-existent? That one word, self-existent, that's also very difficult to understand. Who is devoid of all the distinguished in characteristics of form, color, is exempt from birth, growth, aging, death, or decay, who exists everywhere and in whom everything exists always. All that we can say is that he exists always, but we can't describe him in words. We can't describe him in words. Katha Upanishad gives this term, anirdesha. Anirdesham paramam sukham. He is indescribable, but this much we can say. We may not be able to understand it, but he's paramam sukham. Highest bliss. Various of the pasarams, Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Divya Prabandhams, they grapple with this blissful anomaly of trying to describe him who is indescribable. So here's some descriptions of him. Of he attempts, loving attempts at describing he who is indescribable. By nature, he who has immense mercy toward his creation is dark, like the water-laden clouds. In Treta Yoga, he is known to have a reddish color. In Krita Yoga, his complexion is white like that of the conch. In each yoga, devotees can worship him in whatever forms he chooses to present himself. But beyond worshipping, we cannot precisely understand his true form. People can describe this Nilamega Shamala. That means the Shama color. His form is Shama. Like a blue, color of a blue cloud. Well, no, it's something, you get the idea, something of the idea of Krishna's form. Rain clouds. You won't see them on the camera, maybe in the background. Clouds. Beautiful clouds of the mountains, Krishna's beautiful creation. Some representation of his own personal beauty. So, his Nilamega Shama, his form like the blue cloud with lotus-like reddish eyes, you can describe him, but none, says the writer of this Pasuram, whose name I'm not finding, none can describe him in the form in which he has revealed himself to me. And there are various statements. They're actually, here the commentator says, within the Divya Prabandham, there are huge numbers of statements referring to his indescribability. Well, that's one kind of description, to say that he's indescribable. He doesn't fit any normal description. But one thing that comes through from all the descriptions is the great feeling that these devotees have, the great love that they have. They're trying to put in words that which cannot properly be put in words, and that's real poetry. Poetry is to put in words, an attempt to put in words, feelings that are so profound, and to try to let others feel that also. Quoted here from the Anandavali of Taittiriya Upanishad, a well-known statement, at least well-known among those few people who study Shastra. Yato va cho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. He is inaccessible to the words and the mind. He can only be experienced. And there are various statements in the Upanishads like that. So, what to do if we're confronted with the indescribable, inconceivable form? Stop trying to measure. Admit our inferiority, and at the same time admit, allow ourselves to be engulfed by His all love. Krishna doesn't want us to measure Him. He wants us to surrender to Him. He wants us to love Him. And when there is such a beautiful, indescribable form, then the tendency is to love Him. It's the natural tendency of the soul. But there are others who, on seeing Him, they don't want to see Him. They want to reject Him. Again, the atheists will say, show me God. But if you show, they don't want to see. They don't want to. You show and then, no, I don't want to see. They reject. No, that can't be God. They can't. How can there be any God? From the beginning, they refuse to admit that such a thing can exist. Completely different explanation is given by Satyadeva Vashishtha, as he always gives a different understanding to anyone else. He gives a different meaning. He analyzes the Sanskrit of the name in a different way. So he says that he is the one, Vishnu is the one who sows the seeds that result in the creation of the universe. Bijoham sarva bhutanam, Krishna says. I am the seed of the whole universe. I'm the seed of everything. So one of the things is the universe. In the universe, everything is contained. The universe emanate from His body in seed form. And they emanate from the body of the Karana Daka Shai Vishnu, in seed form, and then they gradually expand, expanding universe. So he is, and also vapati, to sow the seed. So that's the idea, anirdeshu vapu, the indescribable sower of seed. So he is the, that's the meaning there. Satyadeva Vashishtha gives to this name, Anirdesha Vapu. And the next name is Vishnu. It's Vishnu Sahasranama. So, 1,000 names of Vishnu, and one of the names is Vishnu. It's also one of the names. It could have been called Anirdesha Vapu Sahasranama. But Vishnu, that covers all names, because Vishnu is all-pervading. And there are several names which cover all names. And among all the names that cover all names, there are certain names which include all the characteristics. One is Bhagavan, one is Ananta, one is Vishnu. But the most complete and fullest name is Krishna, who is all of. Anyway, I'll plan on speaking on the name Vishnu at some other point in time. Hare Krishna. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nano mukharo navayang vitaya. Hari rasa madhirama dati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama dante nidhaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritva chakakushatameta dahang bravimi hey sadhava sakalam eva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanuragam vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.